week at the same time over these same stations, over NPR worldwide throughout Europe, on the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the facilities of the American Forces Network, on the mighty 104 in Berlin, up and down the east coast of North America via the shortwave giant WBCQ, 7.415 megahertz shortwave. On the mighty 104 in Berlin, around the world via the internet at two different locations, live and archived whenever you want it, on your computer, harryshearer.com and kcrw.com. Available as a free thing for your smartphone. I think it's free. It's stitcher.com. Check that out. I don't know if it's free. Available as a free download to members at audible.com/show and available as a free podcast at kcrw.com. And be just like everything being free if you'd agree to join with me then. Would you? All righty. Thank you very much. Uh-huh. Tip of the show, chapeau to the San Diego, Pittsburgh, Chicago, and Hawaii desks, and to Miss Judith Owen. Thanks, as always, to Pam Halstead. Even in absentia. Absentia, North Carolina, I believe. The email address for this broadcast and the playlist of music heard hereon, just part of the unending potpourri at your disposal at harryshearer.com. And this program is Twitterizing at Le Twits. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless. Here's to a new decade, everybody.
Local support for the show comes from KRCB members and from Sonoma West Publishers, bringing you the Sonoma West Times and News, the Healdsburg Tribune, and the Windsor Times, your weekly sources for local news, events, and community affairs. This is Community Powered Radio, KRCB FM Santa Rosa, 91.1 and 90.9 FM. Hello, streaming on the web at krcb.org. Sorry about that, folks. Support for Mouthful on KRCB comes from our members at the new Jack and Tony's on 4th Street in Santa Rosa's Old Railroad Square, offering American cuisine for the discerning palate, reservations at 526-4347, and from Barn Diva Restaurant and Lounge, just off the plaza in Healdsburg, committed to a sustainable and locally sourced menu, with special family-style dinners on Wednesday and Sunday brunch. Kids and dogs are always welcome in the dining gardens. Barn Diva reservations and menu at barndiva.com. It's 7 o'clock and time for the wine country's most delicious hour, Mouthful.
You better come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be ready to do.
Come over here, kid. You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of oil. You fry some garlic. It's and you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. And you got to do a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet. My country, 'tis of thee. I eat for social progress. I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry. Stay hungry. Stay hungry.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the Wine Country's most delicious hour. How are you doing this evening? January 3rd, the first Sunday of 2010. I hope you've had a nice weekend and happy ninth day of Christmas. The 12th day of Christmas, 12th night, King's Day, Epiphany, whatever you like to call it, is coming up on Wednesday. So I'm still seeing all kinds of Christmas trees on the side of the road. People just don't leave them up until 12th night or the day after, which is Russian or Eastern Orthodox Christmas. But I kind of like that. And the thing that I like so much about it is so much of this season is about light. That just sinking into yourself and the darkening of the days that continues up until the solstice. And then so slowly, that imperceptible 2 or 3 minutes a day, the day is getting longer. And I'm completely convinced that early Christians sort of hooked their holidays onto this movement of light. And by Twelfth Night, you can tell that the days are getting longer. And what that means is, it's really going to happen. Spring is going to be back again. It's a good thing. But while we are still in the somewhat dark days, although we did have a lovely sun here in Sonoma County today, I think we should try to make the most out of winter. And one of the ways to do that is to head to Yosemite. In the last, I think, 4 years, I've gone to Yosemite 3 times, and I've always gone when it's snowy and you require chains and it's so beautiful. And the Iwani Hotel makes it very attractive for you to go. There's wine events that happen, I believe, in November. There is the fabulous Bracebridge dinner pageants that take place in December and that we talked about here in Mouthful on November 29th. And then there's Chef's Holiday coming up. It starts next Sunday, and if technology is serving me well 2 weeks in a row, we have Kathy Langley on the phone with us. Kathy, are you there?
I am here, Michelle. Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. We're excited about Chef's Holiday. It's just a week away.
Yeah, it was so nice to see. It's just been like 2 or 3 weeks since I sat at your table at Bracebridge.
That was a treat. That was a treat, Bracebridge. It always is.
It always is. It's always just such a dazzling, precious little thing that it just feels like a big secret, and most of the rest of the world doesn't know about it.
You know, it was a fairly well-kept secret for a while when there were only 2 or 3 performances, and the word has gotten out a little bit more now. The tickets were on a lottery for many, many years.
Right.
And now people, that lottery's gone away, it's just available by picking up the phone, and you can book right now for next year.
Oh, you take reservations this early?
We do.
That's great, because I have 2 friends who I was telling them about it at lunch on Friday. And this is somebody who works for PBS, and I always think he knows everything about everything. And he hadn't heard of Bracebridge.
You're kidding!
No, and I was telling he and his partner, they're my 2 best friends in the world, as I was telling them about it, you should have seen their eyes sparkle.
Oh.
And John was just saying, I have always wanted to go to Yosemite in the winter. I have always wanted to stay at the Iwani. So I have a feeling as soon as I tell them that you can book this far in advance, I suspect that they are going to.
Well, get them up for Chef's Holidays. And then they can come back for Bracebridge.
Yeah, they probably can't do that. Right now, John is bi-coastal. He's spending a lot of time in Washington, D.C. So, tell us about Chef's Holiday. I know I have 2 participants sitting here in the studio with me. We have Ken Frank of Latoque in Napa, and we also have returning to Mouthful, Peggy Smith of Cowgirl Creamery. So they'll both be there. But you have 8 sessions, right?
We have 8 sessions over the course of 4 weeks, and we have about 28 chefs over the course of that, all 8 sessions, as well as 4 moderators that each come for a week.
Uh-huh.
And we have a number of new moderators and new chefs this year. Now, both Ken and Peggy have participated before.
Mm-hmm.
Ken, way back in the early days, and probably as recently as about 6 or 7 years ago. Is that right, Ken?
He's nodding.
Oh,
yes.
No,
we
not
don't
on.
Have him mic'd for this. We have a little technical challenges. It's just me right now.
So Ken came to Chef's Holidays when he was down at Latoque in Los Angeles.
Oh,
so
okay.
Way back before he was in Northern California.
Yes, he
California
was in Rutherford
chef.
For 10 years and has just relocated to Napa.
Right, right.
And then I see you have David Kinch.
We
of
have
Manresa.
David Kinch coming for the first time. He's never participated in Chef's Holidays before, and he's coming with Cal Staminoff of Bernardus Lodge and Matt Bolton of Pacific's Edge in Carmel, and the three of them are all good friends, and so they really wanted to come together, and they wanted to do a dinner together, which is a little out of the ordinary. We usually have one headliner chef and then two other chefs that just do a demonstration and then attend the dinner as guests, but these guys just really were enthusiastic about wanting to work together to produce a dinner. So our kickoff dinner for the 25th anniversary is going to be a five-course dinner with Cal Staminoff, Matt Bolton, David Kinch, and then Percy Watley, our chef, executive chef at the Awani, who is also a finalist in the Bocuse d'Or USA competition coming up in February.
Right, yes.
And then our pastry chef also will be doing one course.
And then I say that, say Ken will be there January 31st to February 2nd, and
right.
He has another favorite, Loretta Keller of Coco 500 in San Francisco.
And this is Loretta's first time. With all the years that she's been in the Bay Area, we've never gotten her up for Chef's Holidays, so we're really thrilled to have, we have a number of new chefs participating this year, Loretta, Michelle Ma, Arian Duarte, Carla Hall, Ryan Scott.
You've got Dusky Estes and John Stewart from Sonoma County
and
as well.
We love Dusky and John.
They're great, so wonderful.
They are so wonderful. They actually came a couple years ago and filled in when we had another chef with a medical emergency, and I was looking for someone from Sonoma, and they fit the bill, and they have been coming ever since. They're just so talented and such a joy to work with.
Yeah, and they have just such a lighthearted quality about them. And they make really good bacon, too.
Oh, their bacon is to die for.
Yes. Now, how does it work exactly? Well, actually, not so much how does it work. Who comes to Chef's Holiday? Are people coming from the nearby area? Are they coming from all over the country?
We really do have people coming. We have people coming from all over the country. Uh-huh. The majority, I'd say probably 75% of them are from California. But even those folks from California, they really want to see chefs from all over.
Uh-huh.
We used to have just mostly chefs from California, and my goodness, we don't need to leave California to find, you know, talented chefs. There are so many. But our clientele really wanted to see chefs from elsewhere. So we try and get a nice mix of chefs from different areas of the country.
Yeah, you've got people coming from Chicago,
mm-hmm.
Washington, D.C., so all over. And then how much free time when people come to this, do they have free time to go out and wander around?
They do. They do have a little free time. And some people who come year after year will, you know, they may go to two demonstrations instead of all three.
Mm-hmm.
Or they may skip the kitchen tour part of the program because they've done that before.
Right.
So some people don't do, those who come for the first time usually go to all the demonstrations. They go to the Meet the Chefs reception. They do the tour of the kitchen. They go to the gala dinner. So it's fairly busy. There is some free time in between the two demonstrations every day.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, I know that you're getting ready to do something really fun tonight, right?
I am.
Tell us where you are and what you're going to do.
I am in Las Vegas right now, and I am getting ready to go see Bette Midler. She starts in about 15 minutes.
Well, you have to go get in line, don't you?
So I am all ready. I've got my tickets, and I've got my purse on my shoulder, and as soon as we finish, I'm out the door.
Well, you know, I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much for taking time.
Thank you.
And
Michelle,
I wish you a really successful series of Chef's Holiday this time.
My pleasure.
Okay.
Take
bye-bye.
Care.
You too.
Bye.
Okay. Kathy Langley, the head concierge of the Awani Hotel. And of course, all of this Chef's Holiday takes place in the beautiful Awani Hotel. A lovely, lovely place to be. So now let me introduce my guests. We have Ken Frank, Latok. Thanks for being here.
Happy to be here.
I was so surprised and thrilled when I heard you could come. Been trying to get you over here for a while.
Sunday after New Year's, I can sneak out.
Cool. There you go. And Peggy Smith, you've been here at least two other times.
I have.
It's always great to see you, Peggy. Cowgirl Creamery, of course. Cowgirl Creamery and Tamales Bay Foods in Point Reyes. And also Petaluma.
Yes, we opened a new facility in Petaluma for cheese making.
And is it just cheese making, or it's not retail, is it?
We don't have retail there.
You don't have retail.
Yeah.
So you make the cheese and
we make
it to Point Reyes.
We make some cheese, and we actually have our warehouse there for wholesale.
Okay, so the shipping goes out from mm-hmm. Petaluma.
Yeah.
And has it allowed you to expand
Because I know the facility in Point Reyes is tiny.
It's very small. And it has allowed us to increase our production a little bit, but it's still pretty much governed by how much milk we can get from mm-hmm. the different farmers.
How many farmers do you buy milk from?
Well, right now we work with Albert Strauss, mm-hmm. and we work with John Traverna, who's right outside of Petaluma, and he has a Jersey herd. Mm-hmm. And then we work with five other local farms in Sonoma to get cream for our Mount Tam.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. What are you going to be doing at Chef's Holiday? Do you know yet?
Well, usually Sue and I just do a little demonstration about taste and affinage and cheese selection. And mm-hmm. it's pretty basic, but it's pretty fun.
Uh-huh. Yeah. If it involves your cheeses, it's fun. So, and you're going to be going, let's see, you are there January 13th through 14th. So you're in session two, and you'll be with Bruce Sherman of North Pond, Chicago.
Right.
And Elizabeth Faulkner, Citizen Cake and Orson, San Francisco.
And Elizabeth's always fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to it.
Now, have you done this before?
We have done it.
Uh-huh.
We've done it the last 3 years, and we really look forward to it because it's just nice to get there and be in such a beautiful environment and work with really good food and work with usually you know a lot of the people that are doing
sure.
it, so it's pretty fun.
Sure. And separate from what you do, you know, the reason that you go, what do you like best about being in Yosemite at that time of year?
I love being around I hate to say this because I've always said I didn't like snow very much, but I love being there when it's snow and you see all the wildlife and it's just such a beautiful environment.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I felt about is the snow,
yeah.
especially if you're lucky enough to be there when it's coming down.
Yeah, it's so peaceful.
Yeah, and I love those two ravens that hang out at the Yosemite Deli, too. So, Ken, you did this back when Latoque was in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I think this will be my 13th visit for Chef's Holidays.
Oh, you've done it. Okay.
I did the very first one. And then I did 10 years in a row, and I've been back. I think the last time, as Kathy said, it was 5-6 years ago.
Uh-huh.
So I haven't been back in a while. And, you know, I've been to Yosemite in spring, summer, fall, and mm-hmm. winter.
When do you like it best?
I really there's something beautiful every time of year. I mean, when the snow melts and the waterfalls are raging in the spring, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
When the wildflowers are blooming in the meadows up in the summer, and when you can get up there in the summer, that's uh-huh. really great. But winter, there aren't very many people.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is winter, you have the place to yourself.
You do.
There's hundreds of people as opposed to thousands of people. And it's quiet and it's peaceful. And somehow the snow has a way of just bringing out things that you don't see otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so snow will outline features that you don't see and you look at it in a different way. So winter's a really terrific time to go.
And plus that sound that maybe both of you even mentioned the sound, the way, I don't know if it's the snow is absorbing the sounds, but there's just a quiet that you don't get other times.
It is. There are fewer people.
Yeah.
There's nobody
lot
camping.
Fewer people.
There's nobody camping.
I think there were like 75 people one night we were there in the whole valley.
It's really peaceful. And it's, you know, it's a great time to appreciate the simply stunning beauty that you are just immersed in.
Yeah. Yeah, and there were this time when I went, there was snow on the ground, but there was no snow falling, and the waterfalls were active. They weren't, they weren't frozen, so that was pretty amazing to see both. We're gonna take a little musical interlude here and be right back on Mouthful. We're talking about Chef's Holiday in Yosemite.
I keep drinking malted milk, trying to drive my blues away. I keep drinking malted milk, trying to drive my blues away. Baby, you're just as welcome to my loving.
It's Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour. Michelle Jordan, thanks for sticking with us. This is a nice menu, and we were talking while you were listening to that music. Ken and Peggy and I were talking. It's really hard to do a menu in advance. You know, for somebody who's really creative in the kitchen who just loves nature, it's hard to do it in advance. But you've come up with
Grilled king trumpets and treviso with warm bacon dressing. I could eat that right now.
Everything is better with bacon.
Absolutely. Then seared sea scallop with squid ink pearl tapioca.
It sounds weird, but it's not. It looks like giant caviar.
I don't think it sounds weird.
We do a couple of savory tapiocas. We do another one with...
I like that idea.
We do another one with fiscalini cheddar. And it kind of, it
yes.
scratches the mac and cheese itch.
Yes.
It's a really interesting texture. And, of course, you just need to make sure you're using really, mac and cheese is as good as the cheese you put in it.
Yeah. Now, you either told me about that or gave me that when I was over talking to you.
I've been doing that about 2 years, maybe 3 years now. It's
yeah,
fairly
it was
new.
When I was over, I think I was talking, I was talking in part to your sommelier.
Mm-hmm.
I think you gave me some of that because that just sounds – and I really do love the idea of savory rather than sweet tapioca. That is
– I like sweet too, but not the way my grandmother used to make it.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a little burned out on that style a long time ago. Next comes slow-roasted bacon-wrapped pork tenderloin with winter vegetables.
Oh, my God. Bacon again.
Bacon again.
And that's – what that is actually is it's a pork tenderloin that we cook at about 160 degrees – either in a circulator or more often in a combi oven for a couple of hours. So it's barely done.
Mm-hmm.
And then we spread, we make a puree out of raw pork, very, very fine, put it through a tammy. And we spread that all over the just done but now chilled pork tenderloin. And then roll the whole thing up in very thinly sliced bacon. So it's wrapped in bacon, and then we cook it a second time, really just to heat it because the tenderloin is technically cooked.
Mm-hmm.
And we just cook the bacon on the outside. And the pork mousse on the outside, if it sticks the bacon, it acts as pork glue, and it sticks the bacon to the pork. So it's pork three times.
And, pork and glued to pork with pork. I like how you
it's
think.
It's a good concept.
And then short ribs braised all day in Cabernet.
Well, I am coming from Napa Valley.
Yeah. You got to do that. Got to have some Cabernet in
you
there.
You know, when you're serving 100 people, I've found that with beef, you always have temperature issues. Some people like it rare. Some people like it medium. Some people want an end cut. When you do a preparation that's braised all day, it's jiggly, tender, and good.
Mm-hmm.
And temperature's not an issue.
Yeah.
Everybody likes it falling apart good. So you don't have to worry about who wants it rare, who wants it well done. I love it rare, but serving it rare is hard for 100 people because half of the people will get it will be cold by the time it gets there because it doesn't start very hot.
Yeah.
So a braise like that, and braised in the wintertime, in Yosemite, in the snow, I think it'll be fine.
And braised short rib hash for lunch today.
Mm.
So it's on my mind. It was really good.
I had a leftover cup of Christmas Eve gumbo.
Oh, that sounds good.
Oh, hit the spot.
That sounds really good. Well, I stopped by a restaurant here has a garden, and every Sunday they have a little farmer's market. And it's really hard to get lettuce right now. It's been really hard to get lettuce here for a couple of years because the really good lettuce grower moved away, and I still miss her. So I stopped by to get some lettuce, and their new chef said, "Hey, you want brunch? Sit down." So I did. And then you have, apple bacon frangipani tart. Just kidding, there's no bacon. Apple frangipani tart with creme fraiche pink peppercorn ice cream. Okay, you got to talk about that ice cream.
I like creme fraiche for making ice cream because it has character that you don't necessarily get in cream. I like mixing creme fraiche into whipped cream too.
Mm-hmm. I didn't like.
Yeah, it's creme fraiche is good cream, and there's something about its little lactic note. It naturally has a sweet sour umami quality going on, and pink peppercorns aren't really a peppercorn because they grow on a tree, not a vine. But they're almost more sweet than
they
hot.
They are sweet,
but
yeah.
In a more aromatic, spicy way, almost a little resinous flavor to them, and they just give a nice little bite. Pepper is actually very good in ice cream.
I love that. Black pepper ice cream,
just
white pepper
right
ice
amount.
Cream, you betcha.
Yeah.
I love it. I really love it. So you're actually – so the way that Chef's Holiday works is you have a chef who's going to do the dinner, and then you have the two chefs who are going to do the demonstrations.
They do – the chef that does the dinner does a demonstration, and then there are always two guest chefs or cheese makers or organic farmers or there's all sorts of other – related types of people that are just as interesting as chefs are that do demonstrations. They've had caviar tastings. I mean, Peggy will be tasting cheese. Mm-hmm. They have other chefs come and do chef's demonstrations. So I'll do a demonstration. I'm going to be demonstrating my steak tartare recipe. And then there'll be two other demonstrators that – and they end up sitting down as guests for my dinner because typically they have one chef do the gala dinner on the Tuesday night.
So. Now, what is your role in that dinner?
I write the menu. I take my sous chef and my wife. Mm-hmm. We get it together and we serve it. So we'll have a long day in the kitchen on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And it's a huge kitchen.
Huge.
You could put a couple restaurants stacked on. I mean, the ceilings are got to be 30 feet.
Yeah.
It's as big as a football field. It's a gigantic kitchen.
Yeah, we went in there in the middle of Bracebridge. They in just before they served the peacock pie course, they slipped the press who was there. They slipped us in, and it's amazing. The choreography. I mean, the line was enough. I mean, the line is huge, and there's so many people. But the choreography to get 300 diners, you know, guests served. And in silence so that it doesn't disrupt. And the captain, he jumps up on a chair when everything is ready to go. He jumps up on a chair and he puts his arm up in the air. And from the minute he puts his arm up in the air, the room, this huge room with at least 30, no, at least 55 staff and more is silent. I mean, absolutely silent. Everybody has their trays on their shoulders, you know, the 40 wait staff, and they're lined up. Some of them are carrying, you know, like 8 or 10 plates stacked up. And it is silent. The kitchen crew, everyone is absolutely silent. And the guy's up there with his hand up and a big smile on his face. And then the door open and you can't hear anything. And his hand comes down. People are talking again. It's amazing. So do you have the staff at the Iwani helping you get the dinner out?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, good. That's, yeah.
They have a large kitchen staff, and they'll do a lot of work, too.
Yeah.
They'll get a detailed prep list sometime next week. Uh-huh. They'll get a very detailed order list next week as well. I mean, the secret to success with something like this is lots of planning.
Lots of planning.
Picking things that you can do well on the road in large quantities and lots of planning.
Mm-hmm. And does the Iwani, does the hotel acquire the ingredients? Or are you taking those down there with you?
They buy everything that I ask them to ask. And being from California, they use a lot of the same
purveyors
we do anyway. If I was coming from across the country, well, I'd feel lucky because I was going to California and we have better purveyors here.
But yes.
It's easy for us. We're spoiled here in the Bay Area.
And as usual on Mouthful, I will be giving you all of the contact information at the end of the hour. So get your pens and papers and all that. And remember, you can always send me an email, catsmilk@sonic.net. If you forget that, you can just send it mouthful@michellelynandjordan.com and it will find me. You can also go to Facebook if you're part of Facebook and become a fan. The benefit of doing that is I post the links to everyone that I have, you know, if anyone on the show has a website, all that sort of stuff. I try to get all the information right there on the Mouthful Facebook fan page. God, all these things we have to say now. I need music, Lawrence. We're going to shift a little bit away from Chef's Holiday here and talk about what Peggy Smith and Ken Frank do when they're not on their way to Yosemite. We'll be coming back with more details, so like I said, get your pencils. But before we start, I came across something today that someone had sent to me, and it struck me as relevant to one of the things that Latoque is known for. And I just want to read it both to you and to Ken and to Peggy. It's called American Truffles, a Thanksgiving Fantasia, and it is written by Henry Sigrist. So here we go. It's just two paragraphs long. A roast turkey prepared in the good old American way with New England stuffing and served with cranberry relish is a great dish, but I prefer my turkey truffled and with a sauce Perrigot. This requires some preparation, but it's not too difficult to make once you have mastered the elements of the art of cookery. You must buy your turkey in time. Then, 2 days before the event, you slice some of your truffles and insert the slices delicately with your fingers between the skin and the meat of the bird without destroying the subcutaneous connective tissue altogether. Then make the stuffing. Take some fatty tissue of the turkey, dice it and cook it with butter, chopped bacon, chopped truffles, a small chopped onion, the whole well seasoned. After it is cooked for a while, let it cool. Add plenty of foie gras, the liver of the turkey, more chopped truffles, and fill the abdominal cavity of the bird with this mixture. And then forget about it for 2 days. During that period, the meat exposed from all sides to a barrage of truffles will become impregnated with their delicate flavor.
Pregnant with truffles. What's not to like?
Any sense of when this was written?
No.
Okay. I'm just curious.
I would guess 30 years ago.
30. Yeah, the style, the syntax is clearly not, you know, 21st century. But I know that truffles, everyone seemed to discover truffles, what, about 15 years ago, the general public. Truffle oil started, you could find, you know, in like the average pizza pub would pour truffle oil on everything. But, you know, it seems like, oh, truffles, this new thing. This was written in 1944, which just thrills me.
Yeah. But it mentions American truffles?
It does mention American truffles, and you go on to find out more about that.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
There are American truffles. They just don't have any flavor.
Yeah.
Well, they're getting there.
They're getting there. But in 1944, who knew?
I know.
American truffles. I just thought that was really interesting. And your truffle dinners season is starting really soon.
Right. White truffles are just winding up now. They've been around for a couple months, but they're a fall truffle. Mm-hmm. And we had both black and white truffles on the menu for New Year's Eve. And we have some white truffles left. I don't know if I'll get them again or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's been very cold in Italy. Uh-huh. And that this is when their season wraps up.
Yeah. And you bought something in a container, didn't you?
Well, this is two Italian black winter truffles, tuber melanosporum vit, as the Italians call them.
Here, I'm going to hold it up to the microphone. Lean in close to your radio. These are really fragrant. Really, really more fragrant than a lot of black truffles I've been around.
Well, those are the very best black truffles money can buy.
Yeah.
I know the guy who hunts them. He's my favorite truffle supplier.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like everything else, you know, you have to start with the best ingredients.
Mm-hmm. How does he get them to you?
He sends them to his friend Raymond in Raleigh-Durham in one big package, and Raymond clears them through customs and then breaks it out into 12 to 15 packages and sends them to a couple of chefs in New York,
mm-hmm.
a couple of chefs in Los Angeles, a couple of chefs in the Bay Area, a couple of chefs in Las Vegas. And myself, we typically use more truffles at Latoque than any of his other accounts in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
There are weeks we go through 4 or 5 pounds of truffles.
And when do you start with
our
truffles?
Our 28th annual all-black truffle menu will start on Friday, January 8th.
So 28th annual. And that, we should say, you were in Rutherford for 10 years.
Right. I started doing the truffle menu back in the early 80s.
Down in Los Angeles.
When I had the original Latoque on Sunset Strip in Los Angeles. Uh-huh. I've been fond of truffles for a long time. They're one of those things. There's no substitute for them. It's a short season. There's nothing else like mm-hmm. them. You got to use them while you can.
Mm-hmm.
It took a very long time to learn to really get the most of them.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just put truffles in everything. The truffles go particularly well with some things.
What do you think are some of the best ways?
They typically need fat as a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Their flavors are fat soluble. They work great with anything with cream and butter. They work great with chicken, the same way this gentleman would slide slices of truffle under the skin of a turkey. Truffles under the skin of a chicken is one of our more famous dishes. Mm-hmm. They're great with eggs. They're great with cheese. Mm-hmm. You cannot use truffles with acidic flavors. Vinegar, citrus wipes out truffle. Anything spicy wipes out truffle. You need earthy flavors, and you need flavors that will absorb their flavor and amplify it and allow them to really shine. Mm-hmm. You can take a pound of truffles and throw them into spaghetti marinara and you won't taste them because they'll be overpowered by the tomato. Now, so you need to be smart about where you put them.
Right. That's interesting. What about the dissipation? So much of them seem to be in that ephemeral element. The aromas, will that also dissipate? I mean, you have them in a plastic container now. Is there a point that, oh my God, I let it sit too long, it's not going to taste like truffles anymore?
A lot of the truffle magic has to do with the perfume. Mm-hmm. And the advantage of fresh truffles over frozen and canned truffles is that once you've frozen or canned a truffle, you lose that perfume. You know, One of my favorite things to do is to store raw, fresh truffles with whole eggs in a tightly sealed jar, because the eggs will absorb an unbelievable amount of truffle flavor. And then if you cook the egg, even with adding truffle to it, it tastes like truffle. It's really one of those amazing little tricks of nature.
Mm-hmm. So, and this is an egg still in its shell.
Still
it
in
will
its shell.
Absorb through the shell.
Right through the shell.
Yeah.
I think my favorite truffle dish is slow-cooked scrambled eggs with truffles. Ooh.
These two are going home with me tonight, and I will have eggs for breakfast in the morning.
Oh, yum.
We have chickens in the backyard, so we're really spoiled.
Oh, yeah, you're really spoiled and lucky. You're also very opinionated about truffle oil. Can we talk about that?
Sure, it's a fraud.
More.
Well, it should come as no surprise that truffle oil, commercial truffle oil, the arrival of commercial truffle oil some 25 years ago in a big way very conveniently corresponded with the successful synthesization of truffle aromatic compounds in a laboratory in Italy. Friends of mine in the truffle business all know this, but it's become a huge business. And truffle-flavored products are 100% artificially flavored. They're no more truffle than Nestle's Quick is chocolate, or Nilla wafers are really vanilla. Mm-hmm. And this is something that eventually I'm sure the government will get around to changing because it is impossible to make truffle oil with fresh truffles that is commercially viable. It will become rancid. It doesn't keep. And they add – you'll usually see a little tiny chip of truffle in the bottle. Looks like a little fingernail clipping. And if you know anything about truffles, you quickly figure out, well, there's no way that that little scrap of truffle skin can put the equivalent of 20 truffles worth of flavor into that little bottle of oil. So it's absolutely artificial. And now there's truffle salt and there's all sorts of other things.
Oh, yeah. What is the deal with this truffle salt? Is it the same thing?
It's the same thing because, first of all, think about it. Salt is not a medium that absorbs and transmits flavors.
No.
It doesn't do that. Butter does. Eggs do. Now, there are things you can make your own truffle oil, but even if you put a lot of truffle in it, it's going to have a pretty short shelf life. Mm-hmm. The truffle flavor itself in fresh truffles, after about a week, it starts to dissipate pretty quickly, and oil doesn't keep it any better. The best thing you can do, actually, is take truffles and chop them very fine and mix them in soft butter.
Butter. Yeah.
And then roll the butter up in saran wrap in a log, and then you freeze that.
Mm-hmm.
And truffles frozen in butter will maintain a pretty decent amount of flavor for many months. And even after truffle season is over, you can get a slice of that butter out and melt it and toss some pasta in it. Mm-hmm. And truffle butter in May is a pretty good thing.
Yeah, I agree.
But any of the products you buy. Uh-huh. And then when you look on the label, if you're really, really knowledgeable, you'll see that in the fine print that the type of truffle that they're using isn't really tuber magnatum pico. It's a tuber. There are many kinds of truffles.
Mm-hmm.
There are only a few that are really gastronomically important. Mm-hmm. There's only one white truffle that's worth a rat's you know what, and that's tuber magnatum pico. There are other white truffles that are truffles, and they're white, that are grown in many different places, and technically they're a tuber and they're a truffle, but they have no flavor.
Mm-hmm. But what about the black summer truffles?
Black summer truffles the tuber estivum, mm-hmm. is a very mild truffle.
Yeah, I haven't seen much flavor.
I'm not a particular fan of it. Yeah. It's pretty mild, really hard for me to appreciate. Mm-hmm. But there's another fall truffle called the Burgundy truffle that we've had pretty good supply of for a few years. Its Latin name is tuber uncinatum, and it's a sort of a chocolate colored truffle on the mm-hmm. inside. It's black on the outside with big, very pronounced pyramidal type warts on the skin, so it's very easy to identify. It has a sort of a sweet, nutty flavor, sort of mm-hmm. in between the summer truffle and the true black truffle. Mm-hmm. But the true black winter truffle and the true white tuber magnatum are the two that have – they have simply hundreds of times more flavor. But even that said, people get spoiled with truffle oil and expect truffles to be that strong, and they're not.
Yeah. You talked once about how truffle oil stains the palate.
I won't eat anything with truffle oil because it's a flavor that once you get it in your mouth, it stays there. It stains the palate. If you put a couple drops of truffle oil on your tongue, everything you taste for the next hour or two mm-hmm. will still have that slightly chemical off truffle flavor, because truffle oil is very, very close to real truffle, but it just frustrates me and makes me mad because it's not, mm-hmm. and it won't go away, and yeah. it just makes me furious.
But it doesn't have that one quality that it has to have, which is the ephemeral quality. It reminds me, truffles, especially these black truffles, they're like the Pinot Noir of the truffle world. That quality, if someone's even bringing the glass to you or opening the container, oh, it's just that absolutely compelling aroma, but you can't catch it.
It's compelling and delicate at the same time. And
absolutely.
That's a very magical thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. Power, you know, just add pepper and you've got power. But mm-hmm. something that is utterly compelling mm-hmm. and ephemeral and delicate like that is pretty rare and very special.
Yeah. So tell us how the truffle dinner will work. Is it all prefix?
It's prefix. I'm pretty certain what the menu will start with, what the opening menu will be this year. The menu evolves through the season as I have other ideas or we try other things. It's always five courses. There are fresh black truffle in everything from the amuse-bouche through the Minardis. The first course is invariably an egg dish. And this year we're going to do a new version. We're doing an egg that is soft boiled in a circulator. So you cook it at a very specific temperature, mm-hmm. the same bath that you would use for cooking sous vide. We cook them at 62.5 degrees centigrade to the point where for 3 hours. And both the white and the yolk are just barely set and perfectly soft. In fact, it's these circulators that have made it possible for so many restaurants to serve spot on soft boiled eggs now. And we'll serve that with a little truffle butter coulis, and then we're making truffled brioche like monkey bread. Mm. So it'll be egg and toast with truffles. Egg is maybe the best vehicle for mm-hmm. truffle that there is. The second course is going to be a seafood dish, and I still haven't made up my mind. We're doing a really fun scallop lobster and truffle sausage this week on the chef's table menu, but I don't want to get stuck doing three tubes because mm-hmm. the third course is going to be a cannelloni with cheese and white truffle. We took some Latour and put a lot of white truffle in it, made about 6 quarts of that a couple of weeks ago when white truffles were absolutely at their peak, and froze it. And it has an unbelievable amount of truffle flavor in it. So we're doing a white truffle cannelloni with a porcini foam and a parmesan broth. We did that on the New Year's Eve menu. So that's the third course. And then the entree for the opening menu, at least, will be the famous chicken and demi-deuil, mm-hmm. the chicken with the black skin, mm-hmm. with truffles under the skin. And I'm sort of torn. I don't necessarily want to do three things that are tubes in a row. Mm-hmm. So the scallop boudin may be out, and I'm not. We'll probably do something with salmon. And then for dessert, we make truffle ice cream.
Oh.
Because, you know, truffles... Black truffles actually have sort of an earthy, mm-hmm. sweet perfume to them. It is not unlike vanilla. And we make it exactly the same way as if you're making vanilla bean ice cream. You chop the truffles and you cook your anglaise for the ice cream and you add the fresh truffle to it. And you let it steep mm-hmm. while the cream cools before you spin it. And it absorbs an amazing amount of truffle flavor. And it's really quite tasty. And that just means I get to eat ice cream every day.
Yeah. And now I'm hungry. Well, we're gonna move over to Peggy over here and talk about the cheeses, because one that you brought a cheese, didn't you, Peggy?
I did. I brought a Pierce Point. And
Pierce Point, I don't know yet.
Well, Pierce Point's one of our seasonal cheeses. Okay. And we're making that using Jersey milk from John Traverna.
Uh-huh.
And so the fat content's a little bit higher than the milk that we normally use from Albert Strauss, which is a Jersey Holstein mix. I have to apologize. It's a little bit cold because I didn't get it out in time, but... So what we're doing now is we've always wanted to showcase the milk, and that's why our cheeses are pretty straightforward. But we decided that we'd make seasonal cheeses, and we have three seasons, even though I know they're four seasons. But right now we have cheeses for three seasons. And this is the cheese that we make in the fall. End of summer, fall, it's when the cows are eating. The grass is pretty dry here mm-hmm. in California, so they don't get enough nutrients from the grass. So they have supplemental feed. And they get grasses they don't eat corn, but they have some malt that they eat as well, and alfalfa. And so the milk that flavor is carried into the milk.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we've tried to do is make cheeses that really reflect what the cows are eating.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, would you like to try some?
Love to try some, and I really want to hear what Ken has to say about it as well.
Oh, gosh, I should have really tasted this before I brought it today.
You're in good hands.
I'm a total sucker for cow's milk cheese. We sell goat cheese and sheep's milk cheese, too.
Mm-hmm.
But anyone on my staff knows that I'm just a total slave to cow's milk.
Cow's mm-hmm. milk, yeah.
To me, it's just more interesting and complex. The range of flavors you get in it is just remarkable.
Well, when you taste something like a Comté or something, you know, that just is...
Oh, yes.
...will drive you crazy with flavors.
Mm-hmm. This is gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. It's supposed to just be more herbaceous and grassy to pick up those flavors. And the one that we're moving into will be a cheese we make the seasonal cheeses the same way, with the exception of how we finish them. And we make one in the spring that has stinging nettle leaf wrapped
yep.
on it. And then
that's one of my favorites.
The new one that we're making has, there's a farm called All Star Organic, and they raise four different kinds of peppers that they dry, and we're going to have some little, they're mostly sweet peppers, so they mm-hmm. taste actually like smoked pimentos from Spain.
Oh, wow.
The flavor.
Yum.
So we're excited about it.
This is really, really lovely.
It's very good. And it's very grassy.
Yeah.
Very grassy, and then there's something that's sort of sunny.
Oh.
You know, it's sort of sunny.
That's good. That's good.
So your cheeses, well, you distribute through yours and other cheeses as well to Mollis Bay Foods.
We do. The whole purpose of our business was really to promote small production
mm-hmm.
As well as, I know it's such a cliche now, but really sustainable agriculture in West Marin mm-hmm. and as well as Sonoma. But working with Albert Strauss when he transitioned to organic,
mm-hmm.
that was kind of our purpose. So we work with a lot of small producers in the United States, and as well as from Europe, we work with some cheesemakers in France and Italy and Spain.
Mm-hmm. And your cheeses are pretty easy to get in the North Bay.
Our cheeses are, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, I see you at Traverso's.
Mm-hmm.
Fiesta Pacific, Oliver's.
The Oxbow.
Oxbow, of course.
Whole Foods.
Right, Whole Foods.
Oliver's.
All the cheese shops.
Yeah, the little cheese shops.
Yeah. So. And do you do online sales?
We do.
Yeah, okay.
We do. I mean, mostly for the holidays. But.
Uh-huh. But if somebody's, because we do have listeners all over the country.
Yeah.
Through the podcast, free podcast on iTunes. So people can just go to,
We're cowgirlcreamery.com.
Cowgirl Creamery.
Yeah.
How'd you get the name?
Well, it had to do really with Ellen Strauss, who was one of the founders of the Marin Agricultural Land Trust. Mm-hmm. And she moved from, I'll make this quick, she moved from the Netherlands during World War II. She moved to Manhattan, and through a long-distance romance, she met Bill Strauss. And, you know, she was a very sophisticated woman who was actually in the arts. And when she moved to West Marin, she was kind of not really...
Not prepared for the rugged life?
Not prepared for the Wild West. And she did tell us that it was it was really the Wild West out here, and we should remember that. And
so, yeah, the late 40s?
Yeah. And so Sue and I just decided we should just call it Cowgirl Creamery.
Okay, I always imagine you two in, like, great cowboy boots.
Well, I do have quite a few pairs.
You do? Well, good, but... good. I'm so glad to hear that.
I didn't wear
it's part
it
of working
tonight.
With cows.
Oh, yeah, you got to do it.
So tell us about Cowgirl Creamery and Tamales Bay Foods in Point Reyes. I was there the other day. Well, actually, it's been close to a month, I guess, beginning of December.
Mm-hmm.
It was so crowded. My gosh. It was packed. And it was a nice day. People were sitting on the lawn out in back.
Yeah.
And huge line waiting to buy. I mean, it was just packed. I was like, wow. Point Reyes is thriving.
And well, Point Reyes is really busy when it's nice out, you know. And a lot of people have come there instead of going on long distance vacations. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are going out there to visit.
Yeah. We're getting a lot of people come to Napa for 2 days.
Yeah.
They drive an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're transported, and you can do the same thing on Point Reyes. You're transported to a different place. You're not in the city. You're in a different place. Yeah.
You know, who talks about that a lot is David Viviani.
Mm-hmm.
He was, running Sonoma Cheese Factory.
Yeah.
When the first gas crisis in, what was that, 1976 maybe?
Yeah.
I think it was 76.
Jimmy Carter. Oh, yeah.
74. Wow. Oh, it was 76, I think, was Christo's running fence.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, because for me, traffic jam started with Christo.
Yeah.
For David, over in Sonoma, because I was in Petaluma, over in Sonoma, he said people figured out that you could go up to Sonoma or Napa for the day on less than a tank of gas, and that's when you really started. Because people in San Francisco, I mean, I'd go down to Winterland or something, and you know, you'd meet some people. And, oh man, you live in Sonoma? What is that? Like,
I know,
3 or 4 hours from here.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh man, someone's going to figure it out anytime.
Yeah,
and they did.
Well, we are so lucky. I mean, having this is where we live, it's so beautiful, and you have the National Seashore, the wine country. It's just, we're so lucky.
And when you want to go to the city, San Francisco and East Bay, great cities to go visit.
Yeah.
Then come right back home.
Yeah.
So we are coming up on the end of the show. Time flies when you're having a good time. Ken, how do people get information? You have a website.
We have a website.
You post the menu, the truffle menu on the website?
The truffle menu will be up on the website as soon as I get it done, a couple days.
Okay.
People can make reservations at latoque.com.
So latoque,
TOQUE.com.
latoque.com. And you're located in downtown Napa at the Westin?
At the Westin Verasa Napa in downtown Napa. Our neighbor is the Oxbow Cheese Shop.
Oh, yeah. I love them.
Thank you so much for taking the time to drive over on a Sunday night.
Glad to be here.
Peggy, website?
Oh, cowgirlcreamery.com.
Cowgirlcreamery.com. Yeah. We just said that. And then if you go to Point Reyes Station,
you can't
miss it.
Please. Please
just
come and
drive into
us.
Point Reyes Station, and there it is.
Yeah.
Get lots of information. And then if you want more information about upcoming Chef's Holiday, here, take this number down, 801-559-4949. Let me say that one more time, 801-559-4949. Or you can go online to YosemiteParkCom/chefs. But if you just go to YosemitePark.com, you will get there. And if all else fails, you Google Chef's Holiday plus Yosemite, and you will get there. So again, thanks to both of you, and I hope to see you both soon. Thank you for bringing that wonderful cheese, and thank you for letting me smell the truffle. It was really
You're
lovely.
Welcome.
Meet me back here next week for another episode of
Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour. Have a lovely 12th night, no matter what you do. But really, celebrate. The light has returned. Spring isn't that far away. It's Michelle Jordan on KRCB.